This is the Slaw Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Slaw Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/slawsportsreport. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. As always, I'm your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw, back here for another episode. So thank you all for joining. Continuing on with our NFL season previews, division by division breakdown, we're, you know, chugging along, you know, breaking them down one by one, each one of these divisions, all four teams in each division moving along. Of course, leading up to our official NFL divisional rankings, where we'll go to game by game for every single team and give our rankings, you know, win-loss ratio rankings for all 32 teams, announce who, you know, we think and predict will make the playoffs this year, who's, you know, who we think will win the divisions this year, those type of things. That's upcoming later this summer here on the channel, but we got to continue on with the rest of our divisions first. So as you can see it in the title screen, and, you know, if you saw it on Twitter earlier today, we will be discussing the AFC South today: the Indianapolis Colts, Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars, and Houston Texans. A very interesting division that I'm ready to dive into. But before we get there, thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in. If you're on YouTube live right now, youtube.com, you know, find us at the Slaw Sports Show. If, you know, you're listening on the podcast, at Slaw Sports Show, anywhere you get a podcast. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in. It, you know, the support means a lot. I appreciate you guys being here. While you're here, leave a like button if you enjoy the episode on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast, you know, share it on your favorite, you know, social media platforms that you're listening to the Slaw Sports Show. Build the connection, build the network on the channel. And also on YouTube, why not subscribe? You're here already. If you come back on the regular, like the content, even subscribe as well on YouTube, and even hit that notification bell. We got the wonky schedule. You know, I think last week we ended up missing, you know, having to go on vacation, the show that we were supposed to have last week. So hit that notification bell. It'll let you know each and every time we go live, so you're never behind and always up to date on the channel and everything going on in that regards. So nevertheless, thanks for joining. Thanks for stopping by. I appreciate you guys being here. And let's go ahead and hop right into it. Now, before we get to our season previews for this AFC South division, the first thing that we have to do is, of course, talk about some breaking news. Breaking news coming out of today in the last probably 30 minutes to an hour or so, from what we've seen right now. Jimmy Garoppolo, the Jimmy Garoppolo sweepstakes trade, whatever, is heating up right now. Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, you know, they've reached the point of an ultimate divorce between the two. And the San Francisco 49ers, as of 10 minutes ago, per Adam Schefter on Twitter, have officially gave Jimmy Garoppolo's agents permission to seek a trade. We all expect this to happen at some point this offseason, but, you know, of course, that shoulder surgery he had before the NFL draft really started murkying up that water a little bit. The water got a little bit murky. You know, at @underdog_NFL on Twitter, Jimmy Garoppolo expected to be fully cleared by mid-August. And then now he is, you know, has, you know, been given full permission from the 49ers to seek out a trade in terms of what he can get on the market right now entering into training camp. So what does this mean? Jimmy Garoppolo is the hottest name on the quarterback market right now, and pretty much the only name on the quarterback market right now. I've seen a little bit of buzz. I don't know how much of truth or severity is it with Cam Newton and the Cleveland Browns, with a potential suspension on the way for Deshaun Watson. Still no word as to how long that will be. But, you know, maybe Cam Newton on the way to back up or try to rival Jacoby Brissett for the starting job for the first part of the season. But other than that, Jimmy Garoppolo is the hottest name on the quarterback market. A Super Bowl quarterback with the San Francisco 49ers. Had, you know, three straight great seasons in the playoffs, leading that 49ers team. But for the 49ers, it's time to turn the reins over to number 3 overall pick from last year's draft, Trey Lance, and allowing Jimmy Garoppolo to seek a trade. So we saw the big trade 2 weeks back, I believe it was, with Baker Mayfield the last time we did a show. On the day of the show, Baker Mayfield getting traded to the Carolina Panthers. Now all eyes are on Jimmy Garoppolo. Where does he go before the season begins? And what colors and what uniforms does he don at the start of the season? So the big thing for me, I think the Seattle Seahawks are a no-go. The Niners obviously clearly want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think they're going to trade within the division, especially a quarterback and a Super Bowl quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think the Seahawks are a no-go. Good luck to the competition between Geno Smith and Drew Locke as the season gets closer and into training camp. So Jimmy Garoppolo has very low, pretty much buyers, you'd have to think, for teams that would be interested in trying to bring him on board, maybe prior to training camp, maybe after training camp, to get him, at least into the fold of learning the playbook a little bit before he's medically cleared to return with that shoulder surgery, trying to get back from that. So honestly, the only team I can honestly think of for Jimmy Garoppolo right now at this current moment is a team we're going to be talking about later today in the Houston Texans. I think that might be the only potential suitor for Jimmy Garoppolo right now in terms of a trade value, in terms of, sending him to another conference, in terms of what they can get back. I think the Houston Texans are the only logical solution right now for Jimmy Garoppolo. I'd like to see some other teams maybe start joining the mix here now soon with the Niners officially giving the agents permission to seek a trade. But nevertheless, Garoppolo might be on the move here in the next few weeks or so with training camp rolling on and as we start to approach the start of the NFL season. So that's our breaking news front with Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's continue on now with the actual focus of today's episode, that being the season preview for the AFC South. So like I said, this is going to be a weird division, a wonky division. You got a new starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts in Matthew Stafford. You got big changes on the offensive front back from the NFL, during the NFL draft with A.J. Brown leaving the Tennessee Titans in a shocking trade, leaves a big void at their wide receiver room. Jacksonville Jaguars bringing in new head coach Doug Peterson. What does that mean for that team and Trevor Lawrence, last year's number one overall pick going forward after getting a back-to-back number one pick in the draft? And then the Houston Texans, the dumpster fire organization that is Houston, now moving on from from Deshaun Watson, the post-Deshaun Watson era, officially official now with him getting thrown in the fire in the Cleveland Browns, and especially with that organization. The Houston Texans still not cleaned up their front, but they're working on it, and it seems like that organization might finally be on the path back to getting things the way they should be in Houston. So we'll talk about them as well to wrap it up. So let's go ahead and dive into it team by team and really start to break some of these teams down in this division. So first and foremost, we will be starting with the Indianapolis Colts. The Indianapolis Colts, like I said, new quarterback coming into the fold in Matt Ryan. Yet another quarterback. We talked about Jacoby Brissett with the Cleveland Browns earlier in the beginning of this episode. He is a former starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. Then they moved on last year to Carson Wentz being their starting quarterback in Indianapolis. This year, another new quarterback in Matt Ryan. The Indianapolis Colts, Frank Wright, Jim Irsay, Chris Ballard, all those heads in Indianapolis are trying to figure out how to move on in the post-Andrew Luck era, and they are still struggling to find the guy that will be the quarterback under center of this team, the franchise guy that they can rely on year after year. Last year, it wasn't Carson Wentz by any means, and we talked about it back in our NFC East breakdown a couple weeks back. You can find that on our channel discussing Carson Wentz and his new role with the Washington Commanders. And we talked about the issues Carson Wentz had last year in Indianapolis, not being able to make the right decisions and mostly making the wrong decisions at the wrong time, which ultimately hurt this team and kept them out of the playoffs last year. This year, the Colts, Jim Irsay, Chris Ballard, they expect to get back in the fold as being one of the top teams in the AFC and hope to be one of the top teams in this division. And winning that division and getting back into the playoffs has to be the goal for the Indianapolis Colts this year. So they go out, cut ties with Carson Wentz, and look to a new quarterback in the veteran Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, longtime quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, the Falcons franchise going a different direction, a perfect breakup, sending Matt Ryan to the Indianapolis Colts. And what is he going to look like? Is Matt Ryan going to be the guy who is the answer in Indianapolis? I mean, that has to be on the mind of everyone in the state of Indiana right now, talking about what Matt Ryan can do this season as a starting quarterback and fill the void that they have had since Andrew Luck literally walked away from the organization years prior. So Matt Ryan, pulling up, his career stats, he's tried. I mean, he has tried to will his way, took the Atlanta Falcons to the Super Bowl. We all know it, 28-3 collapse against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Struggled in the last few years with the Falcons trying, to get them back on track, multi-year Super Bowl, slump that they've had after that Super Bowl appearance. But this guy, he's an offensive player of the year, an MVP. He was an offensive rookie of the year back in 2008. But, Father Time has taken his toll on Matt Ryan. But I still think he has what it takes to will this team back into the playoffs this year and to make this team maybe a contender again. Matt Ryan's a guy who seems to have his head on straight at the quarterback position. The players love him. You never hear anything bad about Matt Ryan in terms of the leader that he is with the team. They loved him in Atlanta for years. He is the guy, and I hope he is the guy in Indianapolis this year to get them right back on track. And ultimately, it has to be with Matt Ryan. Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, came out and proclaimed a couple of years ago that he wanted to have, I think it was multiple Super Bowl wins in the next half decade or maybe decade, I believe it was. Apologize not getting that one as correct as I could have, but he made a bold proclamation that he wanted multiple Super Bowl wins in the near future in Indianapolis, and it starts with their quarterback. They've got to get the quarterback position right and figured out for years. They can't just keep doing this one-and-done quarterback carousel that they've done in the post-Andrew Luck era. So they're hoping they can finally find some consistency this year in Matt Ryan, and hopefully he can be the guy. Now, the big thing that will help Matt Ryan this year try to get back on track is the guy that went absolutely insane mode last year for the Indianapolis Colts, Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor had a career year last year, the Offensive Player of the Year, second team Offensive Player of the Year runner-up voting for Jonathan Taylor last year. But he had a monster year last year in 2021. Over 2,000 scrimmage yards, 18 touchdowns on the ground, just blew up. I mean, he had a great rookie year, got over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns on the ground in his rookie year. In year two, followed it up, like I said, 1,800 on the ground, rushing, and 18 touchdowns on the ground. This guy went absolutely insane last year, and you expect, in year three, he's only going to get better. I mean, I love Jonathan Taylor. That guy is an absolute horse with the football, and he is going to make a lot of things easier in the passing game and in the entire offense for Matt Ryan next year in Indianapolis. They're going to rely heavily on Jonathan Taylor out of that backfield, and I love it. I mean, I hope that Jonathan Taylor can replicate what he did in year two going into 2022 this season, and it'll just make things so much easier for this team going forward if Jonathan Taylor can do that. I mean, also behind them, they brought in Philip Lindsay to be their third string back, losing Marlon Mack this offseason. Still got Nyheim Hines, the second string, out of the backfield. So still some weapons in the running game. But Jonathan Taylor, far and away, should be the leader easily in this backfield to even talk about going into training camp. If, barring any injury or anything that could happen to Jonathan Taylor, I expect him to have another monster year this year in 2022. Keeping his head on downfield, the absolute threat that he can be out of the backfield. What an insane year last year. I expect him to replicate that this year going into year three. But the big thing last year for the Colts was trying to find some consistency up front with their offensive line, especially at left tackle. They had a lot of issues at left tackle last year. Quentin Nelson at left guard, Ryan Kelly. They still had some reliable guys. Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson are great. Some of the top guys at their position, especially Quentin Nelson at left tackle, at left guard. That left tackle spot had issues last year that they could not contain, consistently getting off that side of the ball, off that edge, and getting after Carson Wentz and just having, trouble on that entire offense off that left side of the line of scrimmage. But this year went out, they have Matt Pryor now. It seems to be their starter going in at, into training camp at left tackle, but still have Dennis Kelly, brought him in. He's a great depth piece to have. If any injuries happen, to step in, and you can just plug and play him on the line of scrimmage. And also drafting Bernard Raymond as well. you know, whatever you think of Bernard Raimann throughout his draft profile, you know, kind of some mixed reviews with him throughout the draft process, but a guy that I personally liked, you know, transferred over from tight end to tackle, a very athletic guy. They also have him as a depth piece on that offensive line. So they did a good job trying to get some depth and some pieces and try to, you know, shore up that left tackle position. I think they did that this year, which is a big move in addition going into this offense. So you talk about the two weaknesses of last year's offense in Indianapolis that pretty much hindered them from making the playoffs, left tackle and quarterback. Hopefully, the Indianapolis Colts seem like they have the upgrade at both of those spots going into 2022. And Matt Ryan's the big one. I expect Matt Ryan to have a good year this year with Frank Wright. Frank Wright is a, you know, quarterback whisperer. I think he gets Matt Ryan, you know, back into the fold a little bit. You know, nowhere near, I would think, a top 10 quarterback level, but still, you know, could be a, you know, 14, 13, 12 kind of guy, at, you know, the quarterback rankings this year. So that alone, with the roster the Colts have right now in this division they're playing in, if Matt Ryan can play at a top 14, top 13 level in the NFL, he can will this team into the playoffs with Frank Wright this year. So a big, you know, jump might come this way from Indianapolis. You know, he's squeaked two more wins out of the schedule from last year that kept them out of the playoffs. They're in that playoffs easily this year, you would have to think, in Indianapolis. But they're going to have to fight. I mean, on paper, this team looks like they will be the team in the AFC South that will come away on top and take the crown in this division. You know, but it's on paper. We're approaching training camp. We don't know what it's going to look like on the field. But on paper, this is one of the strongest teams in this division. And, you know, just don't really know if they're at that level in the AFC to compete with some of these other top teams. But I do think they come away, you know, you would have to think on paper atop of this division. The other thing with the Indianapolis Colts, you can talk about the offense, the wide receivers. This year is the time for these young wide receivers to make the jump to the next level. You know, the jury's still out on T.Y. Hilton, if he is officially going to retire, if they bring him back in Indianapolis, or if he goes somewhere else. But, not, you know, if T.Y. Hilton's out of the picture, it's time for these young wide receivers to make a jump this year and be the leaders for this team and take over for this team, and especially Michael Pittman Jr. I love Michael Pittman Jr. and the impact that he has had so far in his career, a very underrated guy that's really starting to, you know, cross that threshold into the national spotlight in Indianapolis going into year three. You know, year one had 500 yards and one touchdown. Year two had over 1,000 yards and six touchdowns. I think that stat line increases this year for Michael Pittman taking on a true number one wide receiver role this year with Matt Ryan throwing the ball. I think he has a pretty good year being this number one guy. But also behind Michael Pittman, you know, you talk about Alec Pierce, a rookie coming in from Cincinnati, and then Paris Campbell as well, and then guys behind them, you know, Kiki QT, you got Ashton Dolan, those type of guys. But these front three young guys, Paris Campbell, Michael Pittman, and Alec Pierce, these are young wide receivers that they have leading their wide receiver room this year in Indianapolis, and these guys are going to have to take a jump, and it's time for them to do so to take over in this wide receiver room in Indianapolis playing under Matt Ryan at quarterback. And also, you know, at tight end, running it back with Mo Alie-Cox. You brought in Jelani Woods from Virginia Tech in the draft. I like Jelani Woods a lot. Really reminds me of a young version of Mercedes Lewis in Green Bay and what he can do. So they're going to find a way to get him onto the field. Mo Alie-Cox being that, you know, number one guy in the passing game at the position. They have some talent on this offense, and it's centered around, of course, Jonathan Taylor. Easily a top three player in his position. Last year, he was the best player at his position at running back. And you expect him to run it back again with that type of performance going into year three. So that's the offense for the Indianapolis Colts. Let's talk about the defense. And on paper, you know, I talk about, you know, the Colts on paper look to be the team to beat in this division. The defense in Indianapolis on paper might be one of the best in the entire league going into this year. I mean, top to bottom, this team is stacked with playmakers. You know, we'll start on the bottom with the defensive line. You know, DeForest Buckner going into this season in Indianapolis, you know, being traded from the San Francisco 49ers 2 years back. You got second-year Quiddy Pay. I would hope that Quiddy Pay gets healthy and has a big year, what they were expecting to have last year going into year two. They went out this offseason, traded Rocky Asin for Yannick Ngakoue from the Las Vegas Raiders, Yannick Ngakoue, Kwity Paye. On that defensive line, what is a good duo to have on the edge with DeForest Buckner in the middle. And then at linebacker, I mean, the maniac Darius Leonard that they still have, Zaire Franklin as their Sam. And then at Mike, they got Bobby Akure as well. Akurike on that defense, at Mike linebacker on defense as well. So they got some guys in the middle of the field as well. And then you talk about the secondary in Indianapolis, Kenny Moore, Stephon Gilmore, Will Redmond, those guys leading the way at corner. And then Rodney McLeod, Nick Cross, and the return of Julian Blackman as well, a player that they're very high on in Indianapolis, coming back from injury, trying to battle his way back. I'm expecting a big year out of Julian Blackman, really, you know, coming onto the fold. I really like this guy, a young guy, tore his Achilles last year, trying to battle back from that right now. I, you know, hope he comes back well and at a big level for Indianapolis this year. So that defense, absolutely stacked top to bottom of what they have on that starting lineup. And, you know, it's going to be the focal point of this team. That offense, they're going to lead the way with Jonathan Taylor. But, you know, even last year, that defense was a tough defense to go against. And this year, I think that, you know, that's, they're going to replicate that, be the exact same way with that defensive group, one of the top units in the league, you would have to think, going into this season. So that's the Colts. You know, what are they going to do? All eyes are on Matt Ryan. All eyes are on Frank Wright to see if this team can get back into the playoffs and, you know, try to rival some of the, you know, the last year's champs in the AFC South, the Tennessee Titans, and to take over this division this year. Can they do it? We'll see. I mean, that's the, you know, the bar is set high for the Indianapolis Colts. I expect them to be a playoff team, but we'll see if they can do it. It's going to, you know, determine of how Matt Ryan plays in a new home in Indianapolis. How does he work with this offense? How does he work with Frank Wright? Can Jonathan Taylor perform at the same level, you know, a beast like he did last year? All those align, the Colts, you would have to think, would be a playoff team next year. So next up, we got the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars, I talked about it, had back-to-back number one overall picks. Last year took Trevor Lawrence. This past season took Trayvon Walker out of Georgia, number one overall over Aiden Hutchinson. We know we talked about the big back-and-forth battle between that. You can find, you know, our Aiden Hutchinson versus Trayvon Walker video on the channel, as long as our as long as with our NFL draft show back from April in the first round. So the Jacksonville Jaguars, a new regime going in, because last year, frankly, it didn't work. The Urban Meyer regime absolutely failed, and it was a dumpster fire from start to finish, a, you know, rolling, burning wagon down the road with Urban Meyer, and ultimately just a PR nightmare is what it turned out to be with the Urban Meyer show in Jacksonville. But now, Dougie Fresh, Doug Peterson, coming into the fold, a Super Bowl winning quarterback with the Philadelphia Eagles not too long ago, back into the head coaching position in Jacksonville. A big hire, and, you know, Ari Mirov on Twitter called it, on, you know, with Pro Football Focus and his show, called it one of the biggest moves, maybe the biggest move of the entire offseason, was the Jacksonville Jaguars hiring Doug Peterson to become their new head coach and help Trevor Lawrence bounce back in year two. So does Trevor Lawrence get back into the fold this year? That's the big question, obviously, in Jacksonville, because last year the number one overall pick struggled in his first season in the NFL, and you got to wonder how much of that was really on Trevor Lawrence, how much was on, you know, the entire team and the way that they played. But 3,600 yards, 12 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, I believe, was tied with Matthew Stafford for the most interceptions in the league last year. Went 13 and 14 as the starter in Jacksonville last year. Not the first year debut that you would have to, you know, hope for out of Trevor Lawrence. But how does he bounce back? I mean, with Doug Peterson in there now, a new system, more stability in place for him going into year two, you would have to expect that he would return to form of what we saw in Clemson. You know, in the peak and prime of Trevor Lawrence, you would have to think in year two, that level would come back for him. So Trevor Lawrence, you expect a big jump this year in year two out of him. Maybe starts to surprise some people. And, you know, that's my prediction. Surprises a lot of people this year in terms of what he can do on the field. And also, he's getting back a big teammate, former teammate as well, with the Clemson Tigers and running back last year in the first round, Travis Etienne. He should be back, so we'll see the debut slash return of Travis Etienne. You know, if you follow fantasy football Twitter, Travis Etienne has had a lot of buzz going into this season. He had a lot of buzz last year before tearing, I believe it was his Achilles, maybe ACL, but, you know, a bad knee injury that he had. He's trying to get back into the fold, and, you know, a big article on The Athletic, Fantasy Football 2022, could Travis Etienne play an Alvin Kamara-type role for the Jaguars? High expectations, you know, for Travis Etienne going into this season. You know, technically his first year on the field, going into training camp, you know, hopefully expecting to see him on the field for the first time in Jacksonville. But Travis Etienne, he was a dynamic weapon out of Clemson, you know, during his time there with the Tigers. And if they can get him back on the field and have that kind of impact with this team, that'll go a long way toward, you know, not only giving Trevor Lawrence another weapon in the passing game, you know, another weapon out of the backfield, another weapon to keep an eye on for defensive coordinators in this offense, but also what kind of impact does this have now on James Robinson in the fold? For the last couple of years, James Robinson has been that guy, you know, the last 2 years in Jacksonville leading this backfield. How does Travis Etienne come into this now in, you know, technically his first year with this team? How does he come into it now and rival that target share, the snap share with James Robinson? It's something that I'm looking to look into, I guess, if you will, going into training camp. You know, how do those two work in the offense? Can they get them both on the same field at the same time? Are they trying to rotate them in and out? Those type of questions I hope to get answered as we get into training camp and, you know, seeing Travis Etienne start to, you know, get some work in and, you know, get back on the practice field as well. And then especially once we get closer to game time on the field, how does that, you know, duo play effect off of each other and play with each other in Jacksonville? The big thing I will say about the Jacksonville Jaguars, they have a shaky, and I mean shaky, wide receiver room. You can talk about the absolute bag that they hauled out this year to get Christian Kirk in the offseason. It was an absolute insane contract that honestly I don't think he deserved. And you know, the amount of money we're trying to pull up here, a 4-year $72 million that can be worth up to $84 million, $37 million guaranteed. No. That was an absolute insane contract that the Jaguars gave to Christian Kirk. And honestly, is he their number one wide receiver? I mean, does he have the traits to actually be a number one alpha wide receiver in Jacksonville? And you paid him $84 million. You're going, you know, paying him $84 million over the next 4 years on that contract. Absolute insane deal. Round of applause to his agent getting that one done in Jacksonville. But outside of Christian Kirk in this offense at the wide receiver position in Jacksonville, I said it was shaky. You know, Marvin Jones Jr., longtime Jaguar, going to run it back next year. Zay Jones, Laviska Shenault, who they can never seem to get on the field at a productive level, and Laquan Treadwell, who, you know, all of a sudden came, you know, pretty much became a darling of this team last year, you know, with Urban Meyer in this offense. You know, they had some random players coming out of nowhere and being guys, and, you know, Laquan Treadwell was one of them. But overall, none of these guys are, you know, groundbreaking, fearful wide receivers in this wide receiver room. And downright, like I said, shaky for Trevor Lawrence to be throwing the ball to. But of course, you know, the year 3 year is usually the year for quarterbacks when teams start, you know, putting together all of their money before they have to pay their quarterback and getting all the weapons in place for said quarterback. You know, you talk about Josh Allen and the Bills doing so, bringing in Stephon Diggs is, you know, the first one that comes to my mind. So maybe after this offseason, you know, after this season, into next offseason, maybe the Jaguars go out and, you know, finally add somebody at wide receiver. But going out this year, $84 million down the drain to get Christian Kirk to be your number one guy, I don't think that's the improvement you want to see in this offense to surround Trevor Lawrence at the quarterback position. But the big thing that they did add in that I think will be a huge factor this year, not only with Trevor Lawrence, but mostly playing in Doug Peterson's scheme and offense, the same one that he ran back in Philadelphia, Evan Engram at tight end, I think we'll have a great year in Jacksonville this year. And honestly, I think Evan Engram should go ham in Jacksonville this year. I mean, I expect him to have a big year. You know, when you talk about the two tight ends in the scheme with Doug Peterson in Philadelphia, Zach Ertz, now, of course, with the Arizona Cardinals. But the years in Philadelphia, you know, Zach Ertz had multiple, 500, 469 his rookie year, 702, 853, 816, 824, 1,000-yard year in 2018, 916 yards in 2019. And then, of course, you know, 6 touchdowns in 2019, 8 touchdowns in 2018, 8 touchdowns in 2017. And then you go over to Dallas Goedert as well, who is starting to blast on the scene, had a big year this past year with that new regime. But he also had, 330 yards, 607 yards, 520 yards, 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns as the number 2 guy at tight end in that Doug Peterson offense. I expect Evan Engram to have a big year. And, they also have Dan Arnold, who they were able to trade last year last year with the Carolina Panthers, sending C.J. Henderson that way. So Dan Arnold and Evan Engram at tight end. But Evan Engram, this guy has struggled to catch on in the National Football League since being drafted in 2017 with the New York Giants. You know, that rookie year in 2017, a 722-yard season, 6 touchdowns. Ever since then, he has failed to surpass 5 touchdowns and, hasn't even got close to that mark of 722 yards. And, you talk about 2020, he had 654, but only 1 touchdown that year. He has struggled to find his footing and to, get back at a productive level. So I expect Evan Engram, with Doug Peterson in this role in Jacksonville this year, to have a huge year at tight end. And I'm excited to see what he can do on the field, playing alongside, like I said, Trevor Lawrence, and in this new scheme going on in Jacksonville. So the other thing with the offense, before we talk about the defense, which is honestly the part I'm excited about the most out of Jacksonville this year, but the big thing, of course, with Jacksonville is the offensive line. You have your franchise quarterback in place. Next step, you'd have to think, would be protecting him or, getting his weapons, one or two, 1A, 1B. But for me, if I have a franchise quarterback, the first thing I want to do is surround him with some protection up front. And the Jaguars did a good job of that this offseason, bringing in Brandon Scherff in a big contract, maybe their biggest contract deal of the offseason. You could talk about the 4-year, $84 million given to Christian Kirk. But I think the more bargain and better deal was Brandon Scherff coming in, being an instant right tackle. Now you got, him at right guard. You got him at right guard. You got Ben Bartsch at left guard, Luke Fortner at center, and then the tackles staying in place. Juwan Taylor still at right tackle. And the big thing, left tackle Cam Robinson. Getting Cam Robinson on that new extension this offseason was absolutely huge for Trevor Lawrence. Quarterback's best friend is always their left tackle, and the quarterback is always as good as their left tackle. Keeping Cam Robinson in place and being able to figure out a long-term deal with him was absolutely huge this offseason by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Maybe even bigger than getting Brandon Scherff in the in free agency. A huge deal is extending Cam Robinson at left tackle, keeping him in the fold to protect Trevor Lawrence in this offense. So round of applause to Trent Baalke. He got that one right this time around this offseason. So getting that deal done, big and huge for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now let's look at the defense. Like I said, I'm more excited about the defense, honestly, in my opinion, than the offense in Jacksonville this year, because honestly, they have a young defense that's looking to make some noise. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars have been the laughing stock of the league the last 2 years, and you'd have to think some of these guys on the defense are ready to step up and prove themselves and prove, a lot of people wrong this year. So some of these guys, coming into the place, they got Folo Fakukasi, as I like to call him, defensive end, coming in this year in free agency. Got Josh Allen in the fold. Josh Allen's been a beast on that defensive line since they drafted him. And now adding Trayvon Walker as well. They got him listed, ESPN has him listed at Sam linebacker, but you expect to see a lot of Trayvon Walker off the edge, teaming up as well with Clavon Chaisson. Are they going to keep him into the fold? We'll see once we get closer to training camp. But, if you go into it with Folo, Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker, and Kayvon Chaisson, off the edge. Those are a great four that you can try to rotate to get after the quarterback. They also added in Devin Lloyd and Chad Mumah with Foyesade Olukun as well. They got him in free agency at inside linebacker as well. So Devin Lloyd, Mumah, Foyer, those guys are a great trio in that interior of that linebacker core. And then Darius Williams coming in this offseason with Shaquille Griffin, trying to somewhat shore up that cornerback core in Jacksonville. Tyson Campbell still there as well, last year's draft pick. And then at safety, Andre Sisco, Rayshon Jenkins, Andrew Wingard. Those three are great players as well. But the big thing for these guys in Jacksonville, they're young and also hungry guys that want to make their names known. And I think it's just a great combination. Putting all these guys together on the field at the same time on this defense is, just a perfect recipe for them to make some noise and surprise a lot of people together as a unit. So I'm excited to see this group work together. You got to talk about the special team legend Jamal Agnew as well when you talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. So while this team may not reach the heights of contending for this division, there are some people out there that are putting some bets on the Jacksonville Jaguars to potentially squeak into a wild card spot. And you'd have to think maybe that third wild card spot in the AFC East. I don't put them at that level, but I definitely think it'll be a close to 500 level team this year out of Jacksonville. I don't think it'll be a 3-win team again this year. I think it'll be a 6, maybe 7, maybe 8. How high are we gonna go? It's all on Trevor Lawrence and this offense. How far will they go? This defense, I expect them to, like I said, to make some noise as well. So I think it'll be a big year for the Jacksonville Jaguars in terms of where this franchise is going. Not quite at the level, and I still think they're a year or two away from trying to get back into the playoffs. But I think this will be a big year for the Jaguars to try to get back on track after two down years. Two 32 ranked years. In the NFL, I want to see the Jaguars, start making some ground, start taking some steps forward in the right direction. I expect them to do so this season. So next up, we got the Tennessee Titans, last year's AFC South champions, last year's AFC number one seed. Now we all know it came down to a crashing burn ending in the playoffs, a first round exit from the number one seed. In both divisions, of course, my Green Bay Packers as well, number one seed, first round exit in the playoffs last year. But the same thing for the Tennessee Titans. So the Tennessee Titans, now we'll talk about them. The big thing for the Titans going into training camp in the next few days, how do they adapt? How do they adapt in the post-A.J. Brown era? A.J. Brown moving over to the Philadelphia Eagles, a shocking trade. You can go back and see my reaction on the draft show. I was surprised and honestly bamboozled by the trade that sent A.J. Brown to the Philadelphia Eagles during the draft. But now the Titans had to adapt. They made their decision and they have to live with it. And, they went out in the first round, took Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. I got the whole video on him. Treylon Burks, I see him as an A.J. Brown-sized Deebo Samuel. But will he be that level of player in year one as a rookie? So how will this team adapt with a new wide receiver room, with no longer having their leader at that position, and ultimately a huge hole that they have vacated in the offense? You talk about the target share in Tennessee, wide open, you'd have to think right now going into this season. So how do they adapt? Number one, how about the return of the king, Derrick Henry, getting back into the fold this year? Had a monster year in 2020, was in line for a monster year last year before having an injury that took him out for pretty much the entire season, came back late. But Tractor Cito, King Henry, the year before, 2,000 yards rushing, was 17 touchdowns in 2020. Last year in 8 games, he almost had 1,000 yards in 8 games last year and still had 10 touchdowns in 8 games. Derrick Henry was an absolute machine, the tractor. He is coming back this year. Expect to be fully healthy. He's posted on social media all of the workout videos. He's coming back, and he will come back at that same level in 2022. At same 2020 level in 2022. This guy was an absolute machine, and I expect him to come back and be that same level of player this year, and that is how you adapt in the post-AJ Brown era. Return to your roots and pound away. Pound the absolute rock with Derrick Henry. And they even brought in some reinforcements as well in the draft in Tennessee to back up Derrick Henry and Hassan Haskins out of Michigan. They still have Dontrell Hilliard. They brought in Jordan Wilkins. There's some guys back there where, you know, like last year, if Derrick Henry unfortunately goes down, they still have guys in the picture that can try, you know, to keep up the pace of what El Tractorcito was setting for this team. And last year, you talk about all the injuries that the Tennessee Titans had. By far the most injuries in the NFL last year. Still the number one seed in the AFC with, you know, Mike Vrabel leading the way at head coach. All the talk I just had about the Indianapolis Colts, I still do not ever, never want to be the guy that, you know, tries to prove Mike Vrabel wrong and doubt Mike Vrabel. I never want to be known as the guy that doubts Mike Vrabel. He always will have my respect after what he did last season, and I never want to, you know, rival him or doubt him and what he can do in Tennessee. So while I say on paper the Colts, they look like the better team in this division, the Titans can always rally around Mike Vrabel and win games in Tennessee. So, you know, I expect that to be the same level. And they got Derrick Henry back this year. So while they're missing A.J. Brown in that offense in the passing game, you know, still having El Tractorcito and Mike Vrabel still makes this team one of the best in the AFC that you don't need to doubt. Teams were, you know, people across the league last year were doubting this team the entire season. Still managed to be the number one seed. While there's still that, you know, the fall apart in that first round, first game they played in the playoffs, still do not overlook and over-question what this team did last year with all the injuries that they had, rallying around Mike Vrabel and this squad. And, you know, they're going to run it back this year with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. They brought in maybe some future competition, some future security in the draft in Malik Willis. Or maybe it was just the fact, you know, the value of the pick. Malik Willis falling down so far in the draft. We'll talk about that in a minute with Malik Willis. But the big thing is Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is one of the most stable quarterbacks. And yes, he had an upset two-interception game that really hurt them against the Cincinnati Bengals and, you know, knocked them out of the playoffs in the first round. During the season last year, Tannehill was still one of the most stable quarterbacks in the NFL. He kept the ship afloat in Tennessee and led them to that number one seed last year. So while they don't have A.J. Brown, that offense, honestly, the amount of games A.J. Brown missed and the amount of time he was not on the field, they already know what it's like to be without him. So this year, running it back with Ryan Tannehill at the fold at wide receiver, like I said, Treylon Burks looks like he appears to be the guy in this offense, entering into his rookie year. But they also added in Robert Woods, you know, getting him over from the L.A. Rams this offseason. He's still battling back from that ACL tear. You know, how long will we see, you know, Bobby Trees off the field? But once they get him back, you know, Bobby Trees was an absolute weapon and one of the most underrated wide receivers and one of the best wide receivers also after the catch in L.A. Playing with the Rams Tennessee gets back him back on the field, adding him in with Treylon Burks. Pretty much they got A.J. Brown back just in two forms with those two guys. And then, you know, still having Nick Westbrook-Ekeerine going in to year two as well with this, year three with this offense. Des Fitzpatrick going into year two in Tennessee. They still got guys at the wide receiver position. Added in Austin Hooper at tight end. Some more stability there. Geoff Swain. They also drafted Chigo at tight end as well. A guy who's already made a mark in that city and that franchise, as a late draft pick rookie. So this offense in Tennessee, they still have playmakers. This is still not a unit to overlook with what they have. And like I said, the big thing is Malik Willis that I'm looking into. I don't expect to see Malik Willis on the field, but if things go from bad to absolutely bottomed out worse in Tennessee, maybe we see Malik Willis take the field this season. But I honestly don't think that'll be the case. I think that this ship stays right in Tennessee. They pick right back up from what they did last year. You know, pick up their punches from that first round first game exit in the playoffs that they had last year against the Cincinnati Bengals, and this team, in my opinion, will be right back on track offensively with Derrick Henry back into the fold with this group. So the big thing in Tennessee also is their defense. We got to talk about as well, and this is really Mike Vrabel's bread and butter. When Mike Vrabel is at his peak is when the defense in Tennessee is at their peak, and they have guys. They have guys on this defense. You know, big Jeff Simmons off the edge with Dinko Autry, Harold Landry, getting him on a big contract this offseason was huge for this team. A franchise leader that they absolutely love in Tennessee. Bud Dupree, hopefully he is back this year and has a fully healthy season, as well as Caleb Farley, a first-round pick in the 2020 draft, teaming him up with Roger McCrary that they drafted this year, Elijah Molden, a draft pick last year in that secondary, Christian Fulton, a high draft pick, Kevin Byard, a franchise guy, Amani Hooker. Like, this defense has players. We talked about it with the Colts top to bottom. The Titans are the same way, some underrated guys. Kevin Byard, one of the best players at his position. And then, Christian Fulton, Caleb Farley, Roger McCrary, Elijah Molden, a young, group of four, quad group of four that they have, quadruple pairing at the cornerback position. Those are young guys. I'm expecting, hoping to see those guys take their game to a next level, especially seeing Caleb Farley hopefully get on the field this year and playing at a high level, really proving the high draft pick that they spent on him, in last year's draft. So some of these guys, I'm ready to see what they can do. Taylor Tart, Zach Cunningham, the long time Houston Texan as well at linebacker coming into the fold in Tennessee. They got guys that Mike Vrabel is absolutely going to love to use and implement into this team. So while I said, again, going back to it, the Indianapolis Colts on paper look like they're the best team in this division, I'm never going to count out Mike Vrabel and his squad in Tennessee to, surprise and be the, NFL darlings. They have been the darlings of the NFL the last 2 years. I wouldn't expect to see them, wouldn't be surprised to see them do it again this year for the third straight time in Tennessee. So the Tennessee Titans, the big thing going into this season, how do they adapt without A.J. Brown in the fold? And what kind of year will Treylon Burks have in this offense? The Bobby Trees eventual return in this offense, and Derrick Henry back on the field. That's your new leaders of this offense surrounding Ryan Tannehill in this squad that is going to hopefully propel or push back this team this season. So last but not least, we have one more team to discuss before we wrap it up and get out of here on today's show. The Houston Texans. It's time to finally talk about them. So the Texans, like I said, finally ridded themselves of Deshaun Watson this offseason. You got it back a huge hole, in the trade with Deshaun Watson, getting back, multiple first round picks, a big deal, finally just ridding him of the team, getting him out of the way, out of the picture, and now you can finally move on with the franchise and hopefully move forward as a franchise. So the Texans, no more Deshaun Watson, but it's been that way. They've been used to it, because last year, year one of Davis Mills, a little bit of Tyrod Taylor here and there, but Davis Mills solidified himself as being the guy that will take over at quarterback for the near future in Houston, especially this year. Davis Mills is going to be the guy. They're finally giving him the saddle, if you will, with the Houston Texans. So Davis Mills is the guy on the saddle this year going into year two. How does he do in year two will be the big thing for this Texan squad. I don't expect a big jump out of the Houston Texans this year. They still got a lot of figuring out to do with this team going forward this year and, long-term, franchise rebuild, scraping of the bottom of the barrel that they're trying to do in Houston right now. But Davis Mills, it seems like for now they have a secure guy that they can try to build on and see what they have. Last year, Davis Mills was probably the best or second best rookie quarterback. Last year, what he was able to do, 2,600 yards, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions in 11 games. It wasn't the best, but was far from the worst of what we saw last year out of the rookie quarterbacks. So now in the year two, the Houston are, they're building on him. They're trying to build around him and see if he can prove to the Texans that he could be the guy long-term for the Houston Texans. So Davis Mills at quarterback, how does he perform in year two? They haven't really done a tremendous job of surrounding him with some help and weapons, but it's the Houston Texans. So they're going to see him, you know, another year of him to see what he can do with this squad. Running back situation is the big thing I'm keeping an eye on in Houston right now, just because of the value you get on some of these guys, especially, you know, in fantasy football. But this is a murky running back room in Houston. Marlon Mack right now on paper looks to be the starter coming over from Indianapolis. He had a couple good games in Indianapolis, but never really put together a tremendous year by any means. A guy that, you know, was used a lot out of the backfield in that type of role. He's coming in now in this backfield, who last year seemingly was dominated by Rex Burkhead, maybe a little bit of David Johnson. It was a bad backfield last year as well. But I'm keeping an eye on rookie Damian Pierce to see if he tries to, you know, make a big impact in training camp and get a lot of eyes on him to start trying to move up this depth chart a little bit as we approach the start of the season. So Damian Pierce, I'm excited about. I mean, maybe if you want to say I'm excited about anybody in a Houston Texans offense, maybe Damian Pierce coming in as a rookie. But the wide receivers as well in Houston, I mean, they're running it back with Brandon Cooks. Be able to secure him on a deal. He is your franchise guy, you have to think. And, you know, if you look at this entire roster, Brandon Cooks seems like he is the franchise guy for this Houston Texans team. I mean, maybe Laremy Tunsil, you could say, could be the franchise guy, but I think maybe in the near future he could be on the way out of Houston as well. So Brandon Cooks at wide receiver, you know, you look past him, Nico Collins, you got the rookie John Metchie III coming in from Alabama, Chris Conley, Philip Dorsett, guys who have been here for the last couple of years in Houston. So the big thing for me, Brandon Cooks, you expect him to be as consistent as ever. He has been his entire career, especially entering into a second year with Davis Mills throwing him the ball. Get some more chemistry and repertoire built up with him throughout training camp. You know, we expected that to be the case already throughout this offseason, but even more as we get actually onto the practice field in Houston with training camp. But I'm excited about Nico Collins, a second-year guy out of Michigan. I want to see what kind of jump that he can make, and, you know, can he rise and be a factor as this wide receiver two of this offense? I want to see what Nico Collins can do. And then John Metchie III, Bama guy. The Bama wide receivers have been great the past few years, but John Metchie wasn't one of the top guys in this year's draft, but still made some plays in Alabama, was a huge playmaker for the Crimson Tide. Can he be a playmaker as at number three? You'd have to think, hopefully with his potential in Houston. And still, you know, Chris Conley, Philip Dorsett, guys who have been in the league for a long time now, some veteran guys, they know what it takes to survive here in the league. Brevin Jordan at tight end, year two with him. Guy out of Miami is another guy I liked last year as a rookie. He finally started to catch on toward the end of the year. I want to see what he does. I want to see him start out fast right out of the gate with this team. You know, it can be a hopeful touchdown machine for this offense to try to get some points on the board. Will be Brevin Jordan and the impact that he can have with a second season playing with Davis Mills. And honestly, you know, that's the weapons that Davis Mills has to work with. So like I said, it's, you know, probably one of the bottom, you know, offensive group, you know, of weapons in the National Football League. So Davis Mills doesn't really have much to go with in that regard. But I do like what the Houston Texans will be implementing on the offensive line this year. You know, I talked about Laremy Tunsil and what his future could hold with this team going forward. You know, some trade situations. Potentially, is he going to be on the move? He seems to be in place and content right now with the Houston Texans for at least this season. So that's a great piece to still have in the fold. On that offensive line at left tackle, you know, they still have Titus Howard at right tackle, so two surefire offensive tackles this year in Houston, you know, in place, it seems like. But also, you know, the guards and centers as well, AJ Cann, Justin Britt, right guard and center, Kenyon Green, the rookie first rounder at left guard out of Texas A&M, he will come in and step in, you know, be a starter on day one. So these guys, that's a surefire starting five offensive line group surrounding Davis Mills that I'm excited about, but it's just those weapons. Shaky group of weapons in play right now in Houston to see what kind of impact that these guys can make with this offense. And the defense, I mean, they've got an interesting group of players on defense as well, but also some guys that they hope to be guys. I mean, Christian Kirksey, Derek Stingley, first-round pick out of LSU, Desmond King that they still have in fold, Jalen Petre, another rookie that they brought in this year, Malik Collins, Ross Backlock, Neville Hewitt. They've got names. They've got some names on this defense, but also guys that could look to make impacts. And honestly, in my opinion, looking at this Houston Texans defense, the thing that needs to happen this year, they need to have some franchise guys emerge. That is the big thing for this team. They have to find, you know, who are their franchise guys? That has to be the answer. And the big thing on the agenda in Houston this year, you're not going to be a competitive team. You should not expect to be a competitive team this year. What you need to do, and it's the same thing I've talked about, I believe it was with the Jets and with the New York Giants. The Jets and the Giants and the Houston Texans are all in the same boat this year. You should not expect to be competitive in terms of competing for the playoffs this year. Your big thing this year is finding your franchise guys. Who are the guys on your roster that you can build around, and who are the guys that you can't? That is how you build your franchise up, and that's what the Houston Texans have to do this year, especially on this defense. They need to find the guys on this ragtag defensive group that they have in Houston to step up and be franchise players for this team. And they have one. They just drafted one. You know, what was it? Third, fourth overall, and Derek Stingley Jr. out of LSU. A big surprise as a top draft pick, but they valued him that much to select him. Now, was it Lovie Smith's zone first defense he's bringing into the fold this season as a new head coach? Maybe had some influence in Derek Stingley getting picked there, but still, he fit that mold of that Patriots regime that came over and took over in Houston. With, you know, the front office and the general manager, Derek Stingley fit that mold in that pick. So Derek Stingley, for the future of this franchise, he is set in stone as being one of your franchise guys. So who else out of this group rises to the fold? I mean, you know, they liked Christian Kirksey. They got him on a long-term deal. Kamar Grugier-Hill, terrible with pronunciations. But he seems to be a guy. Kevin Pierre-Louis at linebacker. Christian Harris, Jalen Reeves-Maybin. You know, there's a lot of names on this defense, and they need to become non-names and, you know, actual franchise guys. They need to step up this year and emerge as franchise guys. You know, they brought in Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, some leaders for this season to try to push some of these guys to take over and, you know, be leaders in the future of this franchise. So who are these guys going to be? How will they emerge with this defense is going to be the big thing for this Texan squad this year. And also Davis Mills. Can Davis Mills prove to be a guy that's more than just a one-year player, and, you know, 1-2 year player as a quarterback in Houston?